the summertime is coming, and the trees are sweetly blooming, and the wild mountain thyme grows around the blooming heather.
Hello, welcome into episode 84. Wow, we're getting up there. All of Caton's Craft Collective. I'm Louise, and today I've got What's a Crack, Swap section, Me section, Whatcha Doin' segment, and a rundown with the county show, and we have the Caithness section, which is back, so get your Viking helmets out, because we're going pirating. I sponsor this for my own business, www.energyhunt.com, which is Northern Scotland's premier renewable engineering service. It pays for my wage, and therefore your podcast. So get your cup of tea, or your dram, I'll let you know what crack is in Caithness, this week. Oh, I forgot the Daisy Giggle last episode, and I've not done a blether for this episode, so I realised when I was copying over the file, I didn't even realise when I was listening to it. So I apologise most profusely for no giggling. But if you need a pee stop, because it's time for a double Daisy Giggle to make up for it. Section. A Sandy hello to new to me, been with me for a while and been with me forever listeners, and some of you have disappeared out the group again and then some of you old ones have come back in. I am utterly confused, but I do appreciate you tuning in, so whether you're in the group or you're not in the group, doesn't matter, just as long as you're enjoying yourself. A Sandy hello to new group members, Abby Gray, Spinning Ferret and Crafty Nadine, who is lovely. You're all lovely, so it's really nice that you're in there too. Random hellos to Holity, Beth G. Hall, I'll come back to you later, Missy, Ugly Betty, Panad, and PGS. And it's so hard not to put you all in there, because I love it when I get a mention, and I hope that you all too. And Red Witch, yes, it's me, you may giggle. But well, I'll stop now.
What's the crack section?
What's the crack? Right, I have a couple of contradictions for myself from last episode. First one, the book I reviewed is by Margaret Rowan, not Owen, as I called her. I only called her Margaret Rowan once, and all the rest of the times I called her Margaret Owen. And that's because I actually know a Margaret Owen, and I was getting mixed up. So I do apologise to the Margaret Rowan, whose book is still sitting here, and I do recommend it. The other thing was, yeah, I mentioned me stitching on public transport, nobody commenting. And then when somebody did, I jumped down the throat. I'd like to point out, I do love to talk about craft in every way, shape or form, but I didn't really like the patronising. You should have done it this way, brigade. So that's kind of why I said that. Because there's no right or wrong way, there's just your way. Sometimes there's a better way, but if you don't want to do it that way, then that's fine. And all you need to say is to everybody is, I like doing it this way. And then you can leave this awkward silence that they often feel like they have to fill. And if they have to fill it, then you can laugh. But your opinion is your opinion. So there you go. Right, and I totally missed out on Tour de Fleece. Totally. But I really did enjoy seeing all your photos of all your tours on Instagram and Twitter. It was just bobbin-tastic. Well done to everyone who took part, even if it was just for a little bit. It did make me want to get my wheel out, but we were away for the majority of the tour, and I'm not one to carry my spindle about, so alas, my stash continues to be stash. I've decreed to myself that it's because when I get the wheel out, the bairns attack it during the day, and it all goes wrong. And then when they're in their bed, it's getting too late for me to feel like spinning. So I decided I'm going to leave it until when Daisy starts school, and then I can get it out during the day for a good couple of hours. Obviously on my day off, Richard. However, well done to you all who did your lot on Tour de Fleece, and a massive congratulations to Chris Froome, who won the Tour de France. We watched the last stage going around Paris and watching Team Sky across the line together. That was just fantastic. So really enjoyed that, and well done you lot. Well done you. I stop saying that every time I say that to the Bairns. I just think, it's paradising. And of course, we have to welcome and congratulate the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge. And he's the Earl of Strathairn, so she must be the Earless, or whatever she, the Earless, the female equivalent of the Earl is. Of course, on the birth of Prince George Alexander Louis. I like and approve of all three names, and may he be a very healthy young man. And also a good baby for his mummy and daddy, because he's still a baby at the end of the day. So, I think we raise my wee glassie to him.
The swap section.
Swap. The tea cosy swap is up and fair running now. It's a tea cosy made or bought in any medium, something local to you in a later. And I did see send them out by the 20th of July, which was the last podcast. I then got a bit confused what I said. And then, you know what? You lot do your own thing anyway. Now, I have posted mine to New Zealand, to Flaming Andromeda. So, Andromia. I've called you Flaming Andromeda and that's not right. Apologies, B. I really hope you like it. Because I made it. Please continue to do your swaps and putting up your photo. If you can manage that on Ravelry. I'm not so sure I can do that yet. But I really love seeing what everybody's getting. Somebody, oh, I'm so sorry, I can't remember your name, sent a Harris Tweed tea cosy. And it was really cool. With some Ripples Craft yarns. I was very impressed. And I thought, darn, I wish I'd chosen you. But no, I will like what I get. And I'll be very grateful. So I love that we did this. Thoughts are going to the next swap. Who wants to do a swap of a coaster? I mentioned this a wee while back because I think it was in open at Christmas time. And I'm going up at the end of my sentences. When I was at the art shop in open, I saw some coasters and one of them made me laugh because they had pictures on them. And I thought, well, that's a little swap that can go in an envelope or we can make them. Wouldn't take much to do a little square coaster out of yarn. You can crochet them quite easily, granny square, or just do a little square. Everybody could do that. So how do you fancy a coaster swap? Because really, we've had a pot holder, we've had a tea cosy, we might as well have the coaster and have the lot. So that's the next one. Now on to the Caithness County show. I was going to get Mum to talk us through her day at the Caithness County Show, which this year was held in Wick. But remember I said I forgot to take my phone to record it on the day? Mm-hmm. And as it was, this week I spent 2 days in Mum's company, and I'm sorry to tell you, I forgot. Yes, both times. I am a bad, bad podcaster, and I whip myself with my circular needles. No, ponies, not rubbish, they're just... So I will have to take you through the Caithness County Show. And I'm sorry, because I know you like hearing Mum's dulcet tones. Mum doesn't like hearing Mum's dulcet tones, but I know you do. And like a lot of the UK, last week, not through the week, but last Saturday, we had fantastic weather for the show. It was bright, hot sunshine with a good breeze, which must have been nice for the animals. And I took the bairns and we met Mum, who was stewarding at the industrial tent again. The industrial tent is one that has crafts and baking and eggs and photography, and it's open for everyone to enter. They have a WRI tent as well, but that's only open for WRI. And it's kind of like the creme de la creme, because if you're in the WRI showing your stuff, you better be prim and good, because they'll not put it in otherwise. And the industrial tent costs a small entry fee for each item, and they take the winning prize from that. They had the usual entries for needlework, sewing, drawing, woodwork, paperwork, photographs, eggs, baking. And the overall winner of the craft tent was a cushion this year, and the maker was Ella Lawrence from Quilters, which was really, really cool. I met her later on and she was just tickled pink. And it's a tapestry cushion. Didn't ask her what stitch, I was too excited for her. It was really nice to know who won and pass on my congratulations to them in person. So I'm going to go through the photographs just now, so do excuse the clicking and the scrolling noises as I do that. So we started, and I'll put these on Flickr so you'll know which ones I'm talking about. Now the first one, I've got Mum, She's not going to like this photo. But she's standing in front of... They have a... really technical. They have a rope up. You're not supposed to go across the rope or touch the stuff. But if you're with a steward, she can touch it. So, obviously, I walk around looking like I'm praying because I'm holding my fingers in a praying motion. So I don't feel like touching things. And then I tell the children, don't touch that, don't touch it. Mum, can you see what it's like? So... In the background, there's the cross-stitch pictures, and then Mum is standing beside her third winning prize of an embroidery picture. She came third in that and the covered notebook. And her embroidery picture were of two shoes. This was taken from an old Stitch magazine, and my mum put it in a frame, and it's done on silk. It's lovely, really lovely, delicate stitches. In the foreground, you can see the knitted scarf, and the winning entry was a fair ale version. And you might be able to scroll in quite well because this is taken with a Fuji camera, and it's uber good. So the pixelation on it's pretty good. Their next picture is sort of taken up the line, and on the wall at the back, you can see where all the pictures are hanging. And in the middle, there's bags, and on the tables in front of it, they've got the knitted cardigan. See, the winning entry was a cream cabled affair. It's lovely. I think it's a baby's cardigan. And the second prize was a purple one. Purple one. Very, very descriptive, wasn't it? Let's see what kind of pattern's that. 1, 2, 3. It's a fancy rib. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 kind of ribs in the front left. It's got a hood. And the third is a sort of a more brownie kind of colour. And it's got toggle buttons. So they're lovely. They must obviously be worthy of winning. And then we go to the cross stitch. And there's the usual kits. And I don't know how they choose them. I think that they go for how well it's framed as well. Because most cross-stitch these days is kits. And very unusual for you to find somebody freestyling cross-stitch. But sometimes they go with what they like as well, how it's aesthetically pleasing. And then we go to Mum pointing out the Fair Isle pattern. And then they've got there was a knitted pram... Was it a knitted baby bed? Or a knitted pramlet? Can't remember now. And there's the bags. It was a sort of shop-in bag. And the winner of that actually was Ella as well. And her bag is got circles on it. And it pretty much would be perfect because Ella's work is beautiful. One of the entries was a baby's bed cover. And it had to be just the right size. I think it was in the show notes for what you got. And there were notes on some of the entries to say this was the wrong size. So we couldn't give you the prize. Harsh. But if they give you the information, you got to go with it. So then we go to the second prize in the covered cushion. And we've got a rag rug type of one. We've got beautiful crewelled work in different, very finely embroidered crewel wool. And their flowers. It's kind of muted and possibly older fashioned, but classic, beautiful handwork. And let's see, I know who won that. Yeah, that was Mum's buddy, Mrs. McLean. And I'd actually say that's beautiful. And I says, you've got lovely pairs of hands on you, because that's the best compliment you can get in Keith Nays for handiwork. It's quite hard giving a compliment to somebody's face and say, oh, you've got a lovely pair of hands. And then I ran away. But she's dead nice. And then the one beside that is a crocheted circle one. And I quite like that, but it didn't get anything, which is a shame. Oh, there's a better picture of the bags. There's a kitty cat one. There's a patchwork squared one. There's a blue and white spotty one. And then there's the baby's bed covers. And the first prize was a crochet. And it's got a little teddy bear at the bottom. It's white, plain white crochet. It's got a little pillow. They must have been part of it. And it's got a scalloped cream edge around it. So obviously properly done. The one behind it's pink. It's really bonny, but it's the wrong size. And second prize has got a ruffle crochet. It must be a crochet pattern. And there's a canvas work beside it. There's a Noel square canvas work. Then I come on to the special in show, the best exhibit and handicraft section. And this is taken from the photographs, the art, and all the handicrafts. So well done, Ayla. This is the cushion. And it is in wool. And I apologise, I don't know what the stitch is. But it's really pretty. It's pink and greys and purplies. And then we've got Mum looking on her covered notepad. And she did crazy quilting and then covered a book with the material. And she really enjoyed it because she got to do lots of embroidery on it. And she gave me one a few years ago. And she asked for it back to have a look at. And then she just went mad. So next week I have... I'm not going to talk about number one or number two because they beat my mum. She got third place. Terrible bad show of me. No, well done Mum, well done the other ones as well. And then they have cards and I can't tell you what they are unless I scroll in first. Dad, they're for dads. Then there's the artwork. The first place, and it got a special, was a picture of the beach. It looked like it's up west. It's got a beautiful sandy beach and some hills in the background. The second was a tractor. Money on a tractor. I think this is the acrylic. And then the third is a bluebell wood, which is really nice. There's a duck and there's a, looks like broch or something somewhere up west. And then there's some poppies in a jar. And there, the woodwork section. Oh, it's the only person in it again, Mr. Ironside from Haster Farm. He did a little bear and a little manny on an anvil. It's just delightful. I wish more people would put in the wood section. Now, in the painting in oil, the winning entry had glass over it. There's a bit of a shadow on the glass, so it's a bit more difficult to see. But it's really nice. It's a picture of a farmyard setting, kind of on a hill, and there's trees, and there's quite a lot going on. So obviously quite well done. Yeah. You can see if you scroll in quite a lot. And as I said, all these photos will be on Flickr and there'll be a link to it, so you'll be able to go and look through these. And the likes of Acanthus, I know you do this. And LP Star, because you look at my Flickr stuff, because you're lovely. And so is GC Chance as well. And third place is two old mannies and a collie. And he's a shepherd and there's some sheepies in the background. Now, I like that because it's got character and it just looks like farmers. The only thing I don't like about it is it's a canvas and you can see the edges of the canvas at the side. Think of it three-dimensional. Well, the edges are not painted and I like my canvases to be painted. I don't know whether that's a thing I got from Sarah or not. We've also got a Highland Coo and we've got a beagle dog and a flower, sort of a window effect as well. They didn't place, which is a shame because I love the Highland Coo. And then but second place is a street scene. And it's got, I don't know where that is. I was wondering if it was Thurso, but it's got the cooperative on one side. And then it goes round the corner. And it's really nice. I think it's old fashioned. It's an old fashioned car. And it's kind of got like matchstick men and matchstick cats and dogs. Because the people are more impressions of people. But it's a nice, and it's must be a canvas because it's got no frame. Then we went to Any Other Craft, and it's a shame. This is a beautiful, I love this, and I don't know why it didn't place in anything, but maybe it was the way it was displayed. It is a picture with glass over the top of it, and it is a felted picture, and it's kind of poppies, and it's been really heavily embroidered, and it's right on my street, and I love it. So it's a shame that never got placed. And then, we go to Daisy and her scarecrow. I'll put that in because her nursery put in a scarecrow which didn't place this year. And there's the other scarecrows. There was an Andy Murray and Sandy was beside himself because that can't be Andy Murray. That's a badminton racket. That's not a tennis racket. But then they've got the miniature gardens. And I'm going to leave this in as well because this was in the flower tent later. Amanda Kogel, she has a florist in Wick and it's up in Pulteney Side. And she is extremely good and she has exhibited and she won I think it was a bronze, in the Chelsea Flower Show. And this is her wreath that she put in. But it is... They had to create a never-ending circle inspired by something or someone associated with Chelsea. And she chose Sir Harry James Leach. And I can just read that, but I'll let you go into it. He must be something to do with Chelsea. No, I can't. It's really pretty. It's a wreath with orange, autumn-y coloured stuff. Leaves and floristy things. And ooh, it's really posh if you zoom in on it. Anyway, go have a look at that. And she's in the background because she was doing a demonstration and she even had the earphone in. But I had the bearings and I didn't really want to kind of hang around with him making too much noise. So she's lovely. She does some really good stuff. And if you're needing of a florist and wick, go to Amanda. There's the bearings with their faces painted, eating chips. They got chips, they got ice cream. They got their faces painted, they got bouncy castle, and all they did was moan that they never got to see the chicken tent. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you're not allowed to touch the chickens, you got to see Granny's chickens all last week and play with them, but no, you want to see these chickens. However. But I did say thank you to Kerry, who is one of Deezy's nursery friend's mums, who is the secretary for Caithness County Show, and she says the only thing she cannot control is the weather, because I says, well, it was even good how you organised it to be such a beautiful day. But they moved the chicken to make more, because it made more sense and it was the only way they could get in. Because I think they wanted a bigger produce tent for Caithness, things made in Caithness this year. It was massive and they had spinning exhibition in there, but I never went in because it was too hot. And the bairns would have wanted to buy everything. I had spent all my money by that point in time. So then I went to the WRI tent. And there is the most beautiful blanket. And there's a best exhibit in crochet. And this is by Janet Corbett of Merkle. And it's lovely. I've seen this pattern before. I'm sure it's called the Yarn Eater. Or something similar to that. And it's lots of different colours. Baby colours. And you kind of go underneath the stitch to pick it up. And beside that, there is a knitted blanket with elephants. No, it's knitted. The knitted elephants beside it in blue. And the third place beside it is a white crocheted, very lacy kind of affair. It's really nice on top of that bunting. And did everybody see the blanket that was given to the Duchess and Duke of Cambridge for baby George? Obviously it's going to be George for me. Never mind this George. He'll probably not get that called anyway. He'll probably get called Dode or something. Little or Georgie. There is Niche on Twitter. And her granny actually designed. It's a sort of round pie shawl. That New Zealand presented to her. And it's beautiful. And she never knew a thing about it. So whoever. It was somebody called Celia, I think, that knitted it up. But the design was by Niche's granny, and I thought that was wonderful. She was beside herself, so I was really pleased for her. Australia obviously gave them the whole knitted kangaroo gate affair. Goodness me, is a woman not allowed to knit a present for somebody with it being a national emergency? Get over yourselves, political people. Let the women knit. And also Shetland have put together and knitted the most beautiful christening gown, and this thing just looks like it would be an heirloom, and I really hope that he gets to wear it, because I'm sure that they must be inundated by gifts. Right, back to the county show. So they've got a Christmas exhibit and they've got the table runners, and there's a one for the wall. It's very pretty. We've got candles, we've got poinsettias, we've got green, there's a little Christmas tree, completely out of season when it's roasting hot outside. The next one's got Sandy looking at the cushions. There's one and it's got, oh, it's lovely. It's a cross stitch and I love the colours of this. And I did notice who did it. Sheila Jack, I know her. And it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 squares across, 1, 2, 3, 4, possibly 5 down. And each square is slightly different and it's all got different cross stitch patterns in. And wow, there's a lot of work going into that one. Don't know if it got anything. First place looks like a hard anchor cushion. It's in white. Third place is a green embroidered don't think it's hardanger. I think it's just heavily embroidered or tapestried. And then first place is a patchwork Rennie Mackintosh styled stained glass crocus in purples. It's quite pretty. There's a cockerel in the background. There's lots of different types of cushions in that. There's a blue one there. Looks like it's been felted. And there's a bolster cushion as well. And then they had an area where it was made from something free. And were made from a recycled item. And in the background, there's a couple standing in front of it. And I was quite narked because I wanted them to get out of the way. But I couldn't wait for them to move because my burns were getting bored. But there was a little kitchenette. And I thought, what's that doing there? But they had the picture. They had to have a picture of what it was before. And then obviously saw what it was now. And they had a picture of this old crappy looking wooden... It was a cabinet of some sort. And they've made it into a child's kitchen. A wooden right kitchen. It's brilliant. And then we've got things made from jeans. Things made from jumpers. Cushions. There's ties. Somebody's made a wall hanging from ties. Men's ties. There's a cork board. Ooh, that would have been fun drinking all that wine. Sorry. So that was quite a good part. And they actually had an exhibit in there for things made from nothing. And I know that Celia had been doing that quite a lot because she'd asked me about the recycled envelopes. And they had some of them. And she had some paper flowers made from an old gardening book that she was just... She drew a spiral. She cut the spiral out and then glued it together and it made a paper rose. And she also had her knitted bag made out of Marks and Spencer's plastic carrier bags. Can anybody remember that I was trying to do this with pink Superdrug bags? Yeah, we'll carry on forgetting that because I haven't finished it yet. And there we've got knitted items in the front. There is some more handbags. Oh, these were quite good. These were craft bags for your knitting. Well, it was craft bags, but a knitted bag or a craft bag is quite... a personal thing of where you like to put all your stuff. So there's a tote, there's a round carry bag. The one that won is a blue bag. It's got a fancy silver cable on. It's got a great big pocket at the front. It must be quite well made and it's got a knitting in the middle. So good for it. And then there's quite a lot of other things. I like this because they dress it up with, they put their knitting in front of it or inside and it's part of the WRI thing. Then we've got the knitted cardigans. They're obviously all perfect. And that was it. So it was a really lovely day at the show. I put a picture of the bairn and the blue skies up. I've got no pictures of animals because I didn't take any and we didn't see them. Don't mention the chicken tent. So that was the county show. And if your show's still coming up, do feel like you could put something in and certainly go along and have a look and marvel and feel inspired.
The beaker section.
Me section. Right, I did some surgery on the Fierce Little Dragon by Lucy Ravenscar. This is a free crochet pattern via Ravelry and it's grand. And I've made 3 now. And I got quite a few photos of it up because I finished it. Never said to her. Took it out in the garden with Sandy's green dragon. I had immense fun with myself putting it in dragonish kind of places. And I thought, should have got some gold trinkets and put them on it like Smaug from The Hobbit. But as it is, the dragon was made into pieces and then sewn together. And it's called Rosie. No. Yeah, she's into pink things, isn't she? Okay, and then I found her today down at the bottom of the garden, digging in the mud with her party dress on. So that's Daisy all over. And I thought I was over and done with dragons. I put away the stuffing, the pattern, and then I have photos to prove this. Quattro attacked Sandy's dragon. Yes, you. He's looking at me. So said his name. Sandy was screaming like his arm was broken when he found it. Now, no, what's wrong? Rushed towards him at my mum's house. And it's not like Quattro to chew on their toys either. So I'm not sure why he chose the dragon. And it wasn't like it was given to him. But we went out and my niece was looking after him and she says she saw him chew it. But she thought it was his toy. So she didn't stop him. Yes. Put it this way. Quattro knew he was a bad dog for the rest of the day. And he's been quite a sooky dog today and I've been doing all manners of here I'm top dog, like standing in his basket, been making him sit for his food, which I mean, he does most of this every all the time, and then I picked him up and then we found a tick on his lips, and I thought, oh well, that'll teach you. Karma has a way of working on you. So obviously we took the tick out, we walked him, and we've made up with him now. But it took me an hour to sort out dragon surgery today, intensive care, and I had no more of the lovely green yarn that had been a grift from the lovely Angora years ago. So I used the lovely purple yarn I had for spikes that the lovely Sally had sent me, that and I dyed with great coloured Kool-Aid. Can you remember that? This was Mum's idea, that she says, well, just do that, patch them. So I had to crochet two big areas. And it's not the way he used to be, alas, poor Yorick. And we've called them battle scars. But when he was finished, I hailed him down to the dog and I told him, you know, if you ever touch this or any of the other parents' toys again, you know what you're getting. He knew he was wrong. Moving on. I also finished the Hello Kitty hat by Jessica Teal I mentioned last episode. It's a crochet pattern again and it's very cute. If your bairn likes Hello Kitty, which is a Japanese cat if anybody's interested, cartoon thing, Daisy is very helpful in letting me get on with it because it was for her. Plus it was handy because she had a few Hello Kitty things around the house, including a teddy one, and it's kind of aimed at wee girlies. So I could kind of go, oh, right, yep, your eyes are there, your nose is this colour, blah, blah, blah. And the pattern's pretty good, apart from the worsted no comma four ply. But, yeah, quick crochet pattern. It's paid for, but Joy bought it for me, so thank you again, Joy. Daisy's just beside herself. She's been wearing it, and it's too worn for hats, but she's happy. And I got happiness too, because I got to finish things. It was great finishing things. So then I went, oh, yeah. Then I wound some cashmere for the Ptarmigan Cowl by Jared Flood. This is the stuff I bought from Edinburgh Woolfest. And you, Beth Hall, you will know exactly what I'm talking about. Me, Louise Hunt, has left it through there, have I? Yes. And I can't tell you exactly what it is. I just know it's cashmere and silk. And then Katrina Westerman tweets something from the BBC thing saying about cashmere trade is harming the snow leopards. How guilty do I feel now going up the end of my sentences again? I love a snow leopard. I don't want them near me because they're big and scary and beautiful, but snow leopardy out, running around being elusive. Not very many of them. Cashmere industry not helping them. Not good. So that'd feel quite bad. But so if we get our cashmere, possibly people, we could think about where it came from. So, yeah, there's my sort of talking over. But this is four ply and the pattern's double knit. So I'm using it held double. And I wondered how I would do this, either by, because I wound the ball and didn't get too much of a ravel. I was using the swift and the ball winder. I was doing it very slowly. It's really boring when you're doing it slowly. And then I thought, how will I do this? Will I just do it with holding the inside and the outside at the same time? But then thought, no, I'll wind it. And then I'll wind it again with it from the inside and the outside. Big mistake. Huge mistake. Yeah, you're all thinking about pretty women too. The inside of the ball knew what I was up to. I'm using my finger for this. Knew what I was up to. And it instantly knotted itself. So I got that one undone. And then past the point of no return of winding it, and I knotted again, and could I unknot it? No. So went off, I did some sewing, I went back to it, and after some stamping of feet, I caught it, and I knotted it using the Jean Richmond Invisible Knot. And then I listened to an entire Knit One Geek 2 and the latest Twin Set Designs podcast, both being over an hour to do this task. Firstly winding it, then winding it again, and doing the break of sewing in between. And it's only one skein, and it's not that long. So I went to find out my Ravelry page, and noticed that I'm not very good at my stash pages of yarn, or my needles. So don't look there for any of my inspiration. Project pages, I'm not bad at that, but not the stash. I mentioned last episode that the Friendship Star Quilt Workshop I'd been to. At Caithness Quilters, we had one of the members, Ella, who mentioned previously, take a workshop in basic patchwork. I know, she's one of these wonderful people that can do everything, so it's great. Everyone needs an Ella. Quilting blocks are given lots of different names to differentiate them, and mostly that's because what's what they look like, such as flock of geese, log cabin, monkey wrench, etc. It's like pictorial. This one was called Friendship Star, and it's made up of small blocks of 9 squares pieced together to have a star in the middle. Oh, don't you come in here making lots of noise, little dog. You're in the doghouse. Oh no, you're out there. He just has to make his point, doesn't he? Mum had made her pot holder in this style, so she had decided not to go along to this workshop. But it was funny how many of them said, "Where's your mum?" "Are you out in here without her?" She says, "Yes." And I got my pass stamped. So it must be a double act. Anyway, we'd been given our cutting instructions, which were on the website, and I spoke to Ella about it previous to us going, and she explained, wrote it down dutifully. So she said that if we had the squares cut before we got there, it would be much quicker, and plus there wouldn't be queues at the club's big cutting mats. I did my cutting on the Thursday night and thought, I'll take along the excess just in case, I'll not need it. So got there, got all organised, got my stuff out, had a blather. Delighted to see our Shirley there, who'd been quite poorly. But pint of blood later, it's almost doing a jig. It's much better, so it's really good. And then we got out the squares. Good job I taking the excess, because I'd cut the blue ones the wrong size. Yeah. Turns out, I hadn't enough of the green ones or the blue ones in 4 inches. But it wasn't until later that I realised that. Ella noticed straight away. She was a teacher. In fact, she was my teacher. She was a maths teacher. So she must be used to looking over people's shoulders and kind of going, "Ah, that's wrong." So she pounced on me and helped enormously. She's kind of... And actually, there was another couple of beginners or kind of newbie type people there. And whilst I'm not a complete beginner, I knew my cutting was of material was wrong because I was always kind of cack-handed and fiddly. And I knew there had to be a better way. So Ella took us down and showed us that it's... The way I have my... Well, she didn't see this, but I worked it out. It's the way I have my work table set up. I've been doing it back to front. So Daisy has her bit at the left. I have my sewing machine on the right. And there's books in the middle. So there's not a muckle lot of room for putting the cutting mat out because it's A3 size. And now I cut from right to left. And I should have been putting the material onto the table and cutting it from left to right. I think. Pretty sure that's the way she did it. But... doesn't really matter how you do it, but just to, if you can do it the way that suits you best, whatever you do, you put the blade cover on and hold your pinky on the side of your ruler if you can, so it doesn't kind of go and you slice your finger off. So there we go. An out blade is a wrong blade. I'm holding my hand up. You shan't wear them trousers with them shoes. No. Ella took us through the cutting and then the putting it together. And we got diagrams, and it was pretty easy to follow, and then it all got a bit laborious. Because there's 35 squares to pencil on the diagonal, machine twice, cut, then iron. But I had to recut 35 squares. So I got help from Ayla, who was wonderful. It was really good, actually. She penciled them for me, and I learned how to piece them as well, and did that. And she said, "Have you finished them?" And I was, "Yeah, I think so." And she just took them off, cut them, came back. Ironed and everything. Oh, cool. So, and yes, I forgot my phone again. So it was 2 weekends. And I got no photos of it at all. And you know how lots of people have photos on their social media of their meals before they eat them? Well, I don't do that very often. But I do that with craft all the time. I stop, take photo, stop, take photo, stop, take photo. But I find it a really good resource to work back through a project later on. And especially if you're doing it for Ravelry, I think that's where I got into the habit of it. Plus, when you're working with quilting and you're wanting to put your, if you're not doing a friendship star or you're actually just working out your material, and you could do this with yarn as well. I know Kelly Pitkin's always talking about how to choose your colours that go with what. If you take a photograph of whatever colours you've got laid out, say it's material or card or wool, and then you start fiddling with the aspect on your phone for brightness or even put it to black and white, you will be able to tell if something goes with something. That's how I worked out my quilt when I had Sandy helping me put in the right place. I put them down, took the photograph, fiddled with the colours. I thought, don't like that, do like that. This needs more, this needs less. It's Nick from Yarns for the Plane was talking about this as well. Hi, Nick. So it's worth fiddling with your brightness. There are 15 lines of this quilt. There's actually 11 squares in each line. That's quite a lot of cutting and putting back together. I know, isn't it silly? We cut material to sew it back together. But it's cool. So I've got 4 lines to sew, and then I've got to sew the lines together and then quilt it. And the quilt means putting it together into its 3-layered sandwich of top, which is what I'm working on just now. The wadding is the middle, and the bottom, despicable me too, minions. The backing could just be a sheet. And then I get to put the binding on. They want them done by 1st of August, which is Thursday. Can't I see mine being done, but it can be good to be a work in progress. Because on the 1st of August, in WIC Assembly Rooms, they have a show and tell day. And they have it all out on display, sort of a coffee morning thing going on as well. It's always wonderful, and the committee put in a lot of hard work. I missed last year due to the Olympics. A whole year ago was the opening ceremony. Wow. I'm really looking forward to the 2014 Commonwealth Games. And they're held in Glasgow in just under a year's time. And they've got better ticketing sorted out, and they're very much learning from the London Olympics mistakes. I think we're kind of on board with this one. So we've decided as a family to go along and support Team Scotland this time. Doesn't quite roll off the tongue as Team GB, does it? But Scotland! Paint my face blue. Hopefully Gerald Butler will be there. We can shout at him. Come on, Gerald! Shout, go Spartan! Did you see him in Wimbledon? Because I did. And I'm hoping that the same good feeling grasped the nations like last year, because it was magic. And I know that the royal baby was just rolling news of adore. So, good grief, is this baby not being born? Leave the lassie in peace. But it was nice to have a nice thing. And you kind of get away from the fact a newborn baby is a nice thing. Quite historical. So it was nice. And then it was nice to see the papers all, it's a boy! Oh, and then we're back to crap news. People are getting killed all over the place. So poor Spain. I really feel sorry for you. And Egypt. Come on, get your stuff together. Right. Oh, digressed. Back on script. This was supposed to be a really short episode.
The Caithness section.
Caithness segment. This is the last bit. Scooby-Doo, we're sails back in time. We've not been here for a while either, have we? Dooby-doo, Scooby-Doo, Scooby-Doo. Previously on Caithness Game of Thrones, they all died. Oh, sorry, that's Game of Thrones. I've been avoiding the third series quite successfully, and then someone I follow who's a comedian on Twitter tweeted something about it, and darn it, I guessed something. Although I do kind of expect it now with that George R.R. Martin when he killed off who I really liked in the first series. I'm not going to spoil it for anybody who hasn't got to this point, but in Game of Thrones, beware, because lots of people die. But in Caithness, we left ages ago with Sigurd having a big fight with Earl Finlake. I love that name. Finlake? What's he like? Lickety. Now we have to catch up with Scottish politics. But no Alex Salmons or Nicola Sturgeons are mentioned henceforth. Now, in the 12th and 13th centuries, the top half of Scotland, pretty much, and the Isle of Man on the west, had been under the Norse rule for over 300 years. And Burghead and Murray, not far from you, Beth, there was the Scottish headquarters of Thorfinn Ravenfeeder, Earl of Orkney, 1014 to 1065. What a cool name! Ravenfeeder. He shall go out and I shall feed the ravens. Now, he's believed to be Macbeth's half-brother because his mum was Doeda. I wonder if she's George, but called Doeda. Doeda. Sorry. Who was daughter of Malcolm II, King of Scotland in the dynasty of Kenneth MacAlpine, who was the first King of Scotland. But I did mention him a few years ago when I did Scottish history, so his name's quite familiar. And of course, royalty, you know, they tend to intermarry, kind of trade good favours with clans and countries. Well, my daughter can get married to your son and we can be nice and happy together, kind of thing. So that's why that crack was. Macbeth was killed in 1057. And I'm still not sure if it's the one from Shakespeare's play or kind of based on him. You Shakespeare people might know, because you see, I did Romeo and Juliet, Taming of the Shrew and Merchant of Venice, but never Macbeth. The closest I came to Macbeth was the wedding photographer, Craig Macbeth, who's a few years older than me and he lives down the borders now. I interviewed him back at the start of the podcast. Yeah, I know. Ah, After this, Macbeth was killed. The Scottish king started to want the Norse part of Scotland back. Actually, they're kind of still like that. We want Scotland back. It didn't help when Earl Rognvald was murdered in 1158, and there was a lot of infighting in the area. And the Scottish kings tried to help and not help at the same time. They appeared to want to listen immediately, but they were happy to take sides to displace the Orkney earls. So this is where we meet Sven Asselfarson. You better watch how you say that, Louise. Who's Sven the Pirate. Arr. And he was a bit of a rogue. And he didn't actually want to be earl. Oh, got up the end of the sentence again. Want to be earl. But he was instrumental in getting people in place that would assist his greedy ways. And he was in with King David of the Big Heads. And it says here that he had so much to do with the ultimate return of Caithness and Sutherland to de facto Scottish rule. So, next episode we'll talk more about Sven, the pirate.
What's he doing?
Sue Flynn was up at 5 a.m. for the second day. She was about to get the train to Melbourne for Market at Arts Centre. It's open house weekend. Lots of interesting buildings are open, so two markets. She's tired before the day starts. Oh, poor Sue Flynn. Richard's been in Grimsby working all week on the offshore wind farms, and his holidays have finished, so stop whining. That's my Richard, and that's why there's no drams this episode, because he's been away. Andrea Allen finished the daybreak with the super long rose. Ooh. Now she's knitting knee-high socks. Here, you're glutton for punishment. Jackie Harding was doing something, but she was drinking wine and I kind of got distracted by that. Now she's watching Ghostbusters. Boston makes me feel good. Right, and I also noticed on Instagram that Molly Makes, hi Ruby, has finished a dragonfly shawl, but she's omitted the beads. And she'd used a bonny but slightly variegated yarn and is blogging right now. And I really like it because, and I see someone else making the same pattern as me, but it's talked different at the same time. So it's really cool. And why did you not do the beads?
The review section.
Review section? Oh, I must have moved the Caithness segment. That's why it's all weird. I bought myself a copy of Scrap Quilts magazine when I was in Gatwick Airport from WH Smith newsagents. It cost £3.95 and is from Fonz and Porter. It's published in the USA and they have the Love of Quilting magazine, but this was a special edition for spring. The editor's Marianne Fonz, I wonder if she's related to him, and Liz Porter say that in the front that nearly every quilter has a stash of fabrics and is always looking for patterns to use what she has, which I reckon is true. I don't have a big stash yet. Not yet. Of proper quilting material, I am starting to build up a wee stash of material. The cover is white and clean looking with a bonny white and triangular style of quilt photo. In the magazine, which is 100 pages precisely, which I quite like, nice round number, appeals to my sense of nice round numberness, and it has 14 different patterns to use up your scraps, and then there's 3 different but useful techniques, and then the back pages are for notions and places to get the kits for 10 of the 14 patterns, which I liked and then thought, hold on a minute, that defeats the purpose of using up your own scraps. But this is dealing on the, I like the one in the book. I can't see past the one in the book. I have to have the one in the book. What we sometimes find ourselves doing. It's just me. I know I used to rib my mum and Sarah up for doing that, but I see your point. They have each pattern marked for a level of ability. There's 4 easy and 10 intermediate. They have size options on most of them, which tells you what you would do and you need for different sizes of quilt, and also if it's fat quarter friendly or not. Quilters tend to have these lying around more than big metres of fabric because they're nice bits to buy, and you can buy a few to match in bundles instead of getting a metre of this and a metre of that. They tend to be ready cut in the shop too, and already set up in colours for your convenience, and their marketing is very good. The segments are split into the materials required. The cutting you need to do, the quilt assembly complete with diagrams, the close-up and of the whole quilt. Then there are quilt assembly and finishing instructions, and plus there's a wee bit about the designer at the back and more information links. And they do have actual sizes for the piece that you need to cut, so if they're triangles or plicky shapes, and you then just trace or cut up your magazine. I don't think many people do that. I like the techniques in the magazine. There's good photographs, good written instructions. There's a lot of adverts through the magazine, but that's expected, and they don't get in the way of the instructions, or as sometimes I've found in other magazines. They do have apps and online presence, so you can find them at www.fondsandporter.com. What I also like about it is that they show the same quilt but in different colours, which is akin to looking at Ravelry pattern by various people, which gives you an idea of how it looks in the materials that you have, such as Molly makes her dragonfly in X, Louise Hunt makes her dragonfly in fibre spades. Well done me for remembering that. They're very traditional patterns and also some contemporary patterns in this. Some tiny easy weensy piecey piece. Oh no, I'm not going anywhere near them. And some larger pieces. I could maybe do them. Which is good for the scraps that you might have and the level of your ability. I've got some material left over that I used to make the dress. And I'm using it for my friendship star. And it's also, it's been left in bits. You know, there's a fair whack of material left, but with odd bits cut into it. Because I cut out pockets and yokes. So it's fantastic for this kind of thing. And you can use up the material left. We don't like waste, do we? Sometimes it's hard to know what to use it up for. So I like this magazine enough to buy it. And then I liked it enough to review it for you. One downfall for me is from USA. It's alright if you're in the USA, but the adverts are all for the USA. And it's just not worth me ordering things from the USA. It's a nice resource magazine. And I think I would quite like that in a book form. So that's Scrap Quilts by Fonz. You're just thinking the same thing as me. And Porter.com, reviewed and done. I'll have Gordon Ramsay, just because I've not said that for a while. I can't think of any textile techniques to tell you, so I've not used the done by Gordon Ramsay, because that's what he says at the end of his cooking.
Blah, 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 blah.
Right, blah, blah, blah section. Thank you very much for listening. I do appreciate you taking the time to download and then listen to me splaff on. My email is kathinscraftcollective@gmail.com. I am on Ravelry as Louise Hunt. I'm on Twitter and Pinterest and Facebook as kathinscraft. I'm still on Etsy. I'm just going to let that run. I'm just not mentioning it anymore. Thank you, Shorty Sutures. It was appreciated. Nobody bought anything, but they did look. And you can access the Flickr photos from LouiseJ2010 on Flickr. Also, you can go to the Podbean site as www.kathinscraftcollective.podbean.com, and you can get the photographs from that website. If you have a problem getting the podcast from Podbean, please feel free to give me a shout, because I have put the last episode on Dropbox, and if you give me your email, I can give you the access to that. The music was from Mark Gunn's Wild Mountain Time, and you can go buy this at www.musicalley.com. Now, at the weekend, Richard and I and Daisy went for a walk up Peedy Sands, which is up Dunnet Head. And it was beautiful, of course. Did I have the phone for the camera? No. Is there a big theme with this? But the heather was blooming and I was, oh, it's wild mountain time. And I started singing it in my head. And it says, the trees are blooming. I thought, we don't have any trees in Caithness. Have I only just noticed this? Aye. So thank you for listening. And on that note, keep on crafting.
To pour wild mountain time all around. Will you go? I say go. Will you go? I say go. Will you go?